Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting here with good friend Harry Bruntz from the El Paso Gem and Mineral Show. I can't believe that it's already been a year and it's time for another one. Welcome.
I can't either. Time really flies and it's just amazing. We're always gearing up for the next show, and it's just it's like it's right around the corner now.
And it is. You know, this is the this is what we call the Black Weekend, right after Thanksgiving, and we're in the midst of Hanukkah. So there are gifts to be done, and heading into the holiday season and whatnot, it's a perfect time to do it, because now we're just a week away from your show.
That's right. So everybody out there just panicking about not having gotten the right gift for Christmas, here's your opportunity. December 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Almeida Shrine. We'll have the Mineral and Gem Show, and we'll have all kinds of goodies there. You can see some of the things I brought to show you, Dennis.
They're beautiful. I wish radio was TV so that we could actually show our listeners these beautiful artifacts. And they're, you know, you talk about gems and minerals as a keepsake, because they're much more than just something from the earth. But it's also something from the heart.
That's very true. And, you know, each one is unique and an individual item, even though you look out and the hills around the university here are loaded with rocks, and there's probably minerals in there of some sort. But when we go out and we find in the hills a deposit that has this, like, this beautiful piece of orange agate that's called carnelian, that's from up near where the spaceport is going to be put in New Mexico.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
There's lots of neat things out there to find, and our club is really good at doing that. We have field trips that anybody can go on. We'll take you out and show you what to look for and help you identify whatever you find.
How do they contact you first off? That way we can start talking about the club.
Well, the club has a school based in the Memorial Park Senior Citizen Center, and there's somebody there generally every day from 9 to 12 if somebody wants to visit there. There's also a contact, the Gem Center USA, which is a company down on Alameda that works as our contact for the show. Their number is 533-7153, and they can give you information about the club.
Okay. Now, once someone contacts the Gem Center and wants to become a member, mm-hmm. they come to meetings. When are the meetings?
The meetings are the third or fourth Thursday of the month at Memorial Park Senior Citizen Center. We start at 6, and each month we have a program of some sort. Some months it's like the Good Baptist. We have an eatin' meetin', you know, where everybody sits down and has a nice meal together and talks and shares experiencing. Other nights we have rock auctions where people bring in specimens that they want to donate to the club and someone can buy. And then we'll have videos or speakers that tell about minerals and gems of various things. But the Memorial Park Senior Citizen Center is the contact for that. And as I say, we meet usually the fourth Thursday of the month. On some months, like when Christmas or Thanksgiving interferes, it'll be the third Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But if they come to the show, we can get a business card that'll just give you all the meeting dates and the activity for that night.
Folks who want to go to the Gem and Mineral Show want to pick up tickets, and where should they go?
Well, they can come here to see you if you're willing, Dennis.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. And we'll probably leave a quantity at the Geology Museum department also.
Mm-hmm.
The UTEP Geology usually has a booth over there and displays some of the things that the students are working on. So we'll leave a bundle of tickets over there with them also.
Oh, wonderful. And elsewhere around the city as well, for those out in East and Northeast El Paso who can't come to UTEP?
Actually, if you'll check on the paper, on Thursday's paper in the Borderlands section, mm-hmm. The day before the show on the 5th, there'll be a little flyer, a little section, full-color section that has a free admission. And then on the Tiempo, which is published on Friday, there'll be a ticket in there also that they can pick up.
Oh, my gosh. This is absolutely wonderful. Now, Harry, let's talk about these samples that you brought in. They're beautiful, especially the one that's sitting to my left. And again, it's radio, so people don't know what I'm looking at. But to me, it's like a fossilized oyster.
That's very true. It's called a desert rose or chalcedony. And what it forms, in a lava bubble. The mineral chalcedony will coat the inside, and sometimes it forms crystals. And as you can see, this piece has a glittery center of crystal quartz that is just beautiful. It's a light, off-white, I guess you'd say, Dennis, mm-hmm. blending into white. And there's scalloped edges around the side. Almost looks like a rose or a flower or a shell, as you mentioned. And these are a common occurrence out in the deserts of New Mexico. We find quite a few of them in the Deming area going all the way over into Arizona. This particular one came from Arizona. But it's one of the readily available specimens, and it actually can be cut and polished and made into jewelry.
I was about to say this would make a really beautiful centerpiece for a pendant.
It would.
It's a three-day show, the El Paso Gem and Mineral Show. It's December 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week at the Almeida Shrine Auditorium. That's at 6331 Alabama. You can't miss it. It's right up into the mountain. Harry Bruns is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime. Harry, one of the things that really does pique my interest is what you've just shared with us about taking those stones that we find even in the street and just turning them into something beautiful.
Oh, yes. You know, I come from New Jersey, and we used to spend many days down at the seashore walking along the beach, and we would find little pebbles of quartz and stuff that had been rounded by the ocean and tumbled and made fairly smooth. We took some of those white pebbles and put them in a tumbler, which is a further process of what nature started, mm-hmm. and polished them, and have made beautiful jewelry out of them, just the stone itself, just having found it and polished it. And it really works wonders. There's no telling what you can find anywhere around here. In the streets, we find all kinds of pretty stones. This is a great area for minerals and gems.
One of the things that people are doing nowadays is xeriscaping, and the type of material that they're bringing in oftentimes are river stones.
Right.
Big, little, I mean, tiny.
And, you know, in Arizona, if you go in a lot of the streams over there, the river stones, mm-hmm. you'll find pieces of petrified wood that are reds and yellows and whites and black and blue and just gorgeous pieces. But nature has taken and rolled it from where it was formed and down the river, and down the river it goes. And at some point, we wind up picking it up. And there's a lot out there. And some places, like there's a piece of stone here called youngite that I have shown, which comes from Wyoming. And it came from a cavern-like area where people mined it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that's going to be gone now because they built a reservoir there and it's now underwater.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get out and look for stuff in your area now before somebody builds a housing project on it
yeah.
or a reservoir.
Right.
But there's many things. The geology department here does a great job in their core studies. If you're really interested in it, it would be a great thing to do.
Yeah, my understanding is community college is beginning to start looking into the core courses there with geology, which is great.
Oh, it is.
You know, and there are so many places around this area where you don't have to travel to Arizona, although it's a nice way to go. But Kilbourne Hole.
Yes.
Waco Tanks. You could go to the Floridas.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting you mentioned Kilbourne Hole. That's a volcanic area, and there's peridot found there, which is a light green gemstone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the August birthstone, and I know of people that have found pieces size of a quarter that could be cut and polished into beautiful faceted stones. Now, a lot of that's been picked up over the years, but it still washes out of the sand with the winds and rains. So that's only, about 30 miles west of us here?
Yep, it's 30. It's an easy 30. It's not really difficult to get to.
No, it is.
Oftentimes, people will come through this area looking for the geology department, and they will have a little bag with stones, and we'll take them over to the geology department and turn them loose, and they're just amazed that it's such a large department, and B, they're very affable. You know,
they always are, always mm-hmm. have been, and they've supported us many years. Wanted to point out before we get too far that at the show, one of the good parts about our show is the Almeida Shrine has free parking. And also, we have door prizes for all the people that come in. There is a small fee. It's $3 for adults and $2 for seniors and military, and young kids are in free. The kids that come in free will get a geode, and there'll be a place available for that geode to be cracked. And many times, so the kids will just be thrilled to open it up and find all these beautiful crystals in it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Christmas.
Well, they're really beautiful. I have a couple of those geodes, actually, and a friend of mine in Tucson cut one open for me, and it turned out to be really beautiful. I brought it back, and my mom was she's held on to it till the day she passed.
Ah.
So now I've got it back again, sitting on top of my mantle at home, so.
Well, that's great. You know, there's a lot of fossils around here, too, Dennis. The Waco Mountains are rich in fossils in many areas, and up in Las Cruces, they found dinosaur tracks in one part of the Riobles Mountains up there. And if someone is interested in paleontology or studying fossils, there are great opportunities. Right here, even in the city, you can find fossils on the ends of the Franklin Mountains.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much that you could find if you'll just take the time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our listeners who spend the time just walking, like, say, through McKittrick Canyon.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
You know, through any of these areas, you're going to find a gem, no pun intended.
Oh, that's okay, Dennis. We'll let you do that.
Harry, let's go over it again, the El Paso Gem and Mineral Show.
Okay, it's going to be December 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Almeida Shrine Auditorium. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that, that's at 6331 Alabama Street. And the hours are Friday 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 6, and Sunday 10 to 5. And Sunday and Saturday there will be food available. The Almeida Shrine ladies will have the kitchen open and serve some pretty decent food at a very reasonable price. We will have door prizes and free geodes for the kids. We have demonstrations. There will be a fellow making arrowheads showing you how the Indians did it. And the El Paso Gold Club, Prospectors Club, will be demonstrating panning for gold and hunting for gold. And we will have a booth by UTEP. And there will be a group from Las Cruces from the museum up there on the campus that will be showing some of the really beautiful things that they have in their collection. So it's going to be a lot of fun, Dennis. You need to come.
I will. And as a matter of fact, you can pick up your tickets here at the radio station. Just find me. I live here. And if you can't find me, you'll be able to find them next door over at the geology department. But someplace on this campus, you'll have your ticket to get in to the El Paso Gem and Mineral Show. Then, of course, as you said, look for them in the paper next week.
Yes, it'll be in the paper next week on Borderland on Thursday and the Tiempo on Friday. And also in El Paso Scene. It's been in November's issue and will be in December's issue also.
Beauty. Ah. Well, happy Thanksgiving, Harry.
Thank you, Dennis. I sure appreciate you having us on here.
We've been talking to Harry Bruntz, and we're talking about the El Paso Gem and Mineral Show. Again, if you need more information, find it up on our website. If you need those tickets, come by the radio station. Be more than happy to give you a bunch so that we can pack the place. It's the Almeida Shrine Auditorium, 6331 Alabama, December 6th, 7th, and 8th. And El Paso Primetime continues in just a moment. And joining us this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, Audrey Marufo and Ardon Chondo, both from the Small Business Development Center Network of the El Paso Community College. Welcome back to El Paso Primetime.
Great for having us.
Thank you.
You've got a lot of things on your plate lately, but you're doing part two of this incredible thing, the International Business Summit. Let's talk a little bit about this. This is good for people of El Paso to learn.
Absolutely, Dennis. The Small Business Development Center at El Paso Community College, of course, our mission is to foster small business success. And with that, what we want to do is we want to help businesses expand their business and grow their profits and grow their customer base. So we're having part two of the International Business Summit. And this one's going to be targeted more, and we're going to focus on international marketing for business owners. It takes place Friday, December 6th, over at the Small Business Development Center at 9050 Viscount, Building B, Suite B520. And it's at 8:30 a.m., and it finishes at 11:45. It's going to be a great event.
Art, when people start branching out into international marketing, there's always some trepidation to it, but really and truly, it's a relatively easy process to get into, no?
It is, Dennis. And one of the things that we're going to try to do with this International Business Summit is kind of demystify some of the maybe preconceived notions about exporting, to get small business owners a little more comfortable with how do I go about this? Where do I start? What kind of resources are there? What kind of support do I have to get to first base? What do I need to learn to be able to take my product to a foreign market? And really, we're talking about foreign markets all over the world. We're not just talking about maybe exporting to Mexico or that, you know, that kind of thing. We're talking about exporting to the world. And the statistics are somewhat interesting. The fact that only one in 100 small businesses exports is pretty amazing. And in light of the fact that over 90% of the consumers in the world are outside the United States, you know, 87% of the economic growth is outside the United States. So it really is a way for a small business to expand their sales and to really take their business to the next level by learning, is this something that I can do?
When people begin to think about it in global terms, I think sometimes there's that little fear. But as it strikes me that people like the folks who invented the Spira shoe or Helen of Troy, they started small.
That's correct. You take one step at a time. You know, sometimes small business people tend to think, well, I don't make anything. I don't manufacture anything. What could I export? You don't necessarily have to be a manufacturer. There are plenty of products made in the U.S. where you can be a distributor. And you can purchase those products from the manufacturer who may not be interested in exporting the product, but would be interested in selling products abroad if someone was there to do the heavy lifting in terms of finding the market, exporting the product, and making those sales relationships.
You have a special guest coming to this International Business Summit Part 2, and one of them really does pique my interest because they started small as well, Wayne and Michelle Beckley. They're the ones who've developed a thing called Merlot Skincare.
That's correct. And they started small, all small business entrepreneurs. If I remember correctly, I met Mr. Beckley a while back, and I believe he told me he started selling to Walgreens. And from there, they sold to other retailers domestically and then took that next step to take their product to other countries, and I believe one of his countries that he exports to is Japan. So he obviously found the support, found that this is not, the most difficult thing in the world to do, and is doing it quite successfully.
Obviously, you have to have a marketing plan to start with before you start branching out globally, and that's where one of your guests come in as well.
That's correct. One of the things that people may not realize, there is so much information available, and it's public information. As an example, if you are a small business person sitting at your desk wondering where in the world would I determine what markets might be, markets that I can export to. Well, at the SBDC, and my expertise is in international trade, I can show someone where they can go at a very modest price. You can subscribe to this website for on a weekly basis, monthly basis, or even a yearly basis. I can show them how to locate their product on this website and show them any country in the world how much of that product they import based on dollar amount, unit amount, and even price points at a very modest price. And then from there, if that piques their interest and they would like to know, okay, I know where that market is. I know who's buying this product, but I don't know specifics as to who are the companies there. How do I contact them? Well, our sister center in San Antonio, the International Trade Center, they can tell you which companies or who the companies are that are exporting your kind of product into any country in the world.
And your consultant, Alberto Rodriguez, will be in town to explain all of that in plain language.
That's correct. He is out of our International Trade Center in San Antonio, and I've worked with him on several occasions. And you would be amazed at the amount of information that he can come by from our database in San Antonio that would tell people exactly. For example, not many people are aware, one of the fastest growing countries in the world, and not in total exports, but in growth, is Panama. Panama is one of the fastest growing countries that imports products from the U.S. If someone were interested in doing that, Alberto could very quickly tell them, well, here are the products that the top 5-10 products that Panama is importing. Here's the growth rate, and here are the companies that are doing the buying.
Audrey, how do the people get a hold of you in order to be able to do this? Because obviously this is a free seminar.
Absolutely. They can attend at no cost, which is a big plus for anyone interested in exporting abroad. They can register online at our website, which is El Paso, spelled out, ELPASOSBDC.net. And if they just click on the training seminars tab, it'll take them into the International Business Summit registration form. Or easier, if they want to make it a little bit easier, they can call our office. And that number is, of course, area code 915-831-7742. And if you decide that day that you want to just attend, we'll welcome you as well.
All right, I've been looking at this one thing about Go Texan. It's out of the Texas Department of Agriculture. And it really piques my interest because it broadens a business owner's aspect into getting into the global market.
Absolutely. A lot of people may not be aware, but the name Texas, products from Texas, whether they be boots, agricultural products, and other types of products, the fact that they are produced in Texas carries a lot of weight around the world. And that is part of that promotion that they help small business, is to promote products from Texas using that Go Texan logo.
It's an incredible project that the folks at Department of Agriculture have undertaken, and you've got Michelle Esper Martin coming in. She'll explain that also in plain English, how to get involved in that whole project.
That's correct. She'll be coming in to represent that program and give everyone who attends a good understanding of what that program can do for you in terms of promoting your product and services.
We're coming back around after so many years of not doing it, of doing cotton again. You know, they've done so much with the lands east of El Paso, and now that the crops have been turned, now we're back into the cotton. And for anyone who's involved in cotton growing, I think this would be a perfect opportunity to get into it.
I think so. As long as that product is grown or manufactured in Texas, they will be more than happy to help you promote it.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be something like that. It can be pottery. It can
absolutely
be boots.
Absolutely.
Incredible. Yeah. It's an incredible thing. And then, of course, there is the marketing aspect to it all.
That's correct. One of the key issues with exporting is you've got to do a little self-analysis. You know, anyone who is in business has got to do a little analysis of their own company, of their own business, to determine, am I ready to export? Do I have the personnel that I'm going to need? Do I have the resources that I'm going to need? And do I have a marketing plan? You know, there's times where a product may be very well targeted to certain specific markets here in the States. But when you export, you got to make sure that market in that foreign country doesn't require that your product be modified in some way. You know, cultures are different. Language is different. So that's where we can be of assistance, is helping people put that plan together. And also, how do I market it? And these gentlemen that are coming in from San Antonio, their expertise is marketing using social media, using the web. You know, we're totally connected now worldwide. So any company who is going to be exported has to be on the web and has to have some basic skills into how do I market my product using the web and using social media.
It's an incredible thing that you guys use in order to be able to tell people what you've got going on with small business. You know, it used to be just Facebook.
That's
now
correct.
It's Facebook, it's Twitter, it's Instagram. There's a handful of social media, and these two gentlemen out of Viewpoint Creative out of San Antonio will teach people how to use it on a practical level?
That's correct. Practical tips, to get people at least some essential steps into how to do this. You know, it's a vast, vast world out there in this social media. And there are, certain things that you need to do, basic steps that you need to do in order to take advantage of what this can do. It's a powerful, powerful tool.
Well, this is a powerful international business summit that you're packing into less than 4 hours.
That's correct. We're gonna cram a lot of information into it, but we don't want to keep people there a whole day. We want business people to feel comfortable that they can go there for 4 hours and get something really practical out of it. Go back to their office and think about some things that they may feel are important to them, and maybe get them into the road to exporting.
Of course, if there's a little trepidation heading into the summit, they can contact you before the summit.
Absolutely, they can call our office. Be happy to talk to them and answer any questions. And one of the wonderful services that we provide. My expertise, I'm one of the five advisors at the center. My expertise is in international marketing. If somebody wanted to sit down with me one-on-one before or after the presentation, be more than happy to do it. Everything that we discuss is confidential, and you can sit down one-on-one, and I'll be happy to go over some of these items that we've talked about.
This is absolutely wonderful, and it's such a boon for people who want to expand out of the garage, literally.
Absolutely.
So, Audrey, again, what do they have to do in order to sign up for this?
They can call us one of two ways. They can call us at our office, area code 915-831-7742, and ask to be registered to attend this summit, or they can register online at our website, elpasosbdc.net. And if they have any questions, regarding the registration, or, it's a little hard to understand, they can call us and we'll just take them through the whole registration process. We're asking for pre-registration just to kind of get a number, a head count on the number of people that are attending. But if you decide that day or the night before that you want to attend, absolutely, we're not going to turn you away.
Cool deal. Arden Chondo, Audrey Marufo, thank you so much for coming in. It's a wonderful thing. If you missed all that information, it's up on our website immediately after this show is done. Thank you so much for coming into El Paso Primetime. And Mikasa Sukasa, come on back.
Thanks, Dennis.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP with help this week from Teddy Brodeer, visiting us from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It's Small Business Saturday. Time to go local. Thanks for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.